There's that.
Yeah, that's why. Maybe I'll soundproof this one day, but anywho, welcome everybody to another fun-filled episode of Talk the Ska. And I am delighted with my guest today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name's Tara, and I am the lead singer of Half Past Two. We're a ska band from Orange County, California.
There's not many of those there, so.
Oh, yeah, you know.
Yeah, it's a very, very tough scene to make it in.
Yes, it's a desolate place for ska, Southern California. No, no, there's a lot of ska to be had in Southern California. But we're just one of those bands, so.
Just another ska band in Ska City, USA, as my sister called it.
That's a good name for it.
It's more of a region than a city, but I was very much appreciative of her comment the one time we were in Anaheim. So
it just feels that way, right? Like when you're there, you're just like, oh, this makes sense. Like that ska comes from here. Not comes from here, but that ska's such a big deal here. Yeah. It's
the prevalent zone of the USA for ska.
Yeah. Well, I think it used to be. Maybe at the moment right now, I feel like there are, not to hate on my scene, but I feel like there are better scenes in other cities, but there's definitely just, like, you know, people that like ska and listen to ska, and that has, like, proliferated down, you know, from the 90s heyday to now. But yeah, it's a good place to be a ska band, I'll say that.
I'll say this, for the one time I was in Anaheim, I was devastated that there was not a single ska show going on for the 3 days I was there.
That's pretty rare. I mean, like I said, these days, I feel like there's a lot less ska happening than even, like, you know, a few years ago or, like, before 2020, you know, but there's usually something going on.
This was like 2016, I think.
I am shocked that you're saying that.
I was certain. I think it was in September of 2016. And I was like, there's got to be something somewhere. I was reaching out to people. And they're like, no, sorry. Or they were on tour. I think that was back when Suburban Legends did their downtown Disney shows.
Yeah.
And there's one the day before and the day after we left.
No. See, that was just bad luck then.
So I was just like, all right, you know what? I was out there on a work trip, technically, so it was just the universe.
Kind of you gotta plan place. It. You gotta come back out, but, like, plan it around a ska show. Like, see a ska show that you want to go to and just come back.
I don't remember the lineup exactly, but I debated flying out there for a Half Past Two show, I think last year. I was like, that's amazing. I've wanted to see you guys forever. I missed the one time you were in Chicago. And I was just like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go. And I don't. Probably money. Probably the flying out there for a show.
Yeah. Well, you missed us. We were just in Chicago. You couldn't go.
I couldn't go. You were there in, like, December, right?
No, we were there in, like, the beginning of September.
Really? I don't know why I wasn't there. Oh, I was moving.
Oh, well, that'll do it. But yeah, we were there. We went for Mustard Plug's record release shows.
Yeah, that's
with the Toasters. Right. Yeah.
It's all coming back to me now, Tara.
It was so much fun. It was our first time in the Midwest.
So upset.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. You're just bringing.
I'm not trying to rub it in your face. I'm just saying it was really fun.
No,
it was a fun time.
No, it's fine. I deserve it. I should have been there. Chuck.
We'll be back.
Chuck from Jump Up keeps asking me when I'm going to start coming to shows again.
Like, you're like, I have to work.
It's just tough because I do work. I work second shift. I'm the only person in my department.
Don't they know you have ska shows to go to?
They do. they panicked because I told them I had an interview this weekend and they thought I was quitting.
They thought you were like a job interview. You're like, they were like, no, not quite.
I was like, no.
Not quite. That's funny though.
Actually, been like, yeah, yes.
I love that.
Yeah. I'm really hoping I can somehow make it out to Supernova this year, because that is just a ridiculous lineup, which you guys are part of.
Oh, yeah. We just announced that this last week. Yeah, yes, we're doing big, Supernova.
Big week for you guys.
I know. We've been before to Supernova in 2021, and it was funny because I really wanted to go back. Last year they had like that bad time chunk, and so I felt like all my friends were there and I wasn't there, so I was having like major FOMO. And so I just kept telling Brent, who is our booking agent, Brent Friedman.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to play Supernova. I really want to play. And he was like, well, I haven't heard anything, but you know, they'll usually reach out if they want to book you. And so I made him ask Tim, in who, you know, puts on Supernova in January, if we could play. And Tim was like, oh no, like, you know, we already have the lineup set up and we don't have room for anybody else. So it was basically a flat out no. And yeah, fast forward to like the end of January, Tim was looking for somebody to help with social media, and he asked Brent if he knew anybody. And I mean, I do that for my band, but for other businesses and stuff like that, actually. And so Brent was like, what do you think? Do you want to just talk to Tim and see what this is about? And the first meeting I had with Tim, the first thing he said to me was like, oh, so does Half Past Two want to play Supernova? And I was like, wait, what? And I remember texting Brent, and he was like, he flat out said no. And I'm like, well, he flat out asked me if we wanted to play. So like, what's up? Like, can we play? And we had the time. So, I mean, we didn't book anything around that time. So yeah, we're going. I'm super excited about, like you said, the lineup. I know the rest of the lineup, so I'm super duper excited to go. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Everybody, don't miss Supernova this year. Don't sleep on getting tickets to Supernova. It's going to be really, really cool.
It's already like a must-go show for people who can, you know, swing it.
That's for sure.
But
yeah.
I can't imagine. I mean, off the gate, I was like, okay, what else are they going to announce?
I was like, they're good at doing it with the surprises and stuff. They're good at that.
They are. And like, kudos to them. Was it this year? I don't remember who it is. There's so many bands and it all just blurs in my mind. I know Scoovoovy and the Epitones were like, yes, one of the first ones they announced. And I was like, oh my God.
They haven't played since like 2001 or something,
right,
like that.
And I adore that band. So...
so there's a reason to go.
Just that right alone, there. I was like, I think I have to go. Whenever I think of them, I think of high school when I played one of their albums in my friend's car. And he took it out and was like, do you have any real ska? And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Your friend was gatekeeping you in your own vehicle. You're like, yeah, you can walk. Yeah.
Why don't you play some real ska, not this? Like, huh?
You're like, okay, like, why don't you pick the music? Well,
but
rude. Rude. Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I'm doing that work for Supernova, I made like a little chart of like the different acts that have played over the years. And because it's their 10-year anniversary this year.
Yeah.
And Pie Tasters have only missed 1 year. They missed 1 year. And the only person that's played every single Supernova is oh my gosh, I'm totally blanking right now. Why can't I remember his name? I love him so much. You know who I'm talking about. I'm really blanking right now, but
I'm not sure because I'm trying to think and
for sure, like, oh my gosh, I have to look it up now because
it's because... a solo artist?
Yes. Oh my gosh, I feel bad for like not remembering his Chris Murray.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I know. I was like, wait, I see Chris all the time in LA. And so that's why I was like, why am I blanking on Chris? Like, but yeah, so Chris Murray has played every single Supernova, like, no fail. And then, yeah, Pie Tasters have played everyone but one. Yes. So, but, like, there's a lot of acts I haven't played, like, before that are playing this year. Like, Big D's playing for the first time at Supernova.
Which is kind of wild, considering.
Is it?
I think so. Maybe it's just me, but like they've been around for what, close to probably 30 years at this point.
Yeah.
And they've been relatively active. I mean, obviously less so in recent years, but they're still out there playing shows. So it just seems like something they'd be on.
Yeah.
I actually completely forgot they were there this year.
Yeah. And then Five Irons playing.
That's another one where I was like, oh, with Mephiscopheles.
Yeah.
Which I'm so stoked about that pairing. I've seen them together before, and it's...
Yeah. It's going to be a really crazy weekend. I think Mad Caddies is playing this year, and...
I never saw that announcement, but I saw it in a headline somewhere. But not in, like, the article itself. So I'm like, did this
slip somewhere? I know. Well, they definitely announced it because it's on their Instagram or whatever. But yeah, so, but I think it kind of like just slipped by.
So, also, the last time I saw Mad Caddies, I suffered a very serious concussion.
What happened?
I was helping someone find their glasses, and another person was shoved into me, which hit the front of my head, and then I fell back and banged my head on the concrete.
Oh my gosh. And, did they have to call an ambulance and everything?
They probably should have, to be completely honest, because I was not okay at all. And I just acted like I was okay because I was there with my little sister who had been talking about wanting to see the Mad Caddies forever. And it's the first show and it was the second song. I think it was actually... Yeah, it was right after the second song had played. It happened. So I was like, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. Well, I was not fine.
That's crazy. Oh my gosh. But I mean, you're here today. So
I'm still here.
That's the good news. Yeah. That's the real good news. Do you think Planet Smashers is actually going to play this year at Supernova? Because this is their third time being asked. And they haven't ever actually
made it.
They've
had to cancel, yeah.
Yeah.
I hope so. That's another band I adore. They're such nice people as well.
They are. We played with them last year in January. They had not been to California in a long, long time. Like years. Like 20 years or something. And then they came to play and they asked us to play with them. We're like, us? What? It was so funny too. Because like, oh, I have a good story. So they played two shows with us and then they were gonna go play they were gonna go open for Goldfinger at the House of Blues in Anaheim here in Orange County, and I was like, oh, can I come and can I sing a song? And they're like, oh yeah, totally. So they, you know, I was there backstage with them, and Tony Hawk was there. That was the show where he came out to sing Superman with Goldfinger, and it was like all over the internet. But it was so funny because like I used to be on the show Yo Gabba Gabba, and Tony Hawk is like a friend of like a lot of the people that put that show together, like the Aquabats guys and stuff. So I've seen Tony Hawk, and I'm from Southern California, and like you just like, I don't know, I'm desensitized to who Tony Hawk is because like I've seen him places, and I just know people that like know him and stuff. But yeah, so they were like freaking out because they're like, we're from Canada. Like, what? Like, that's a celebrity. And I'm like, just go say hi to him. They wanted a picture. And I was like, just go say hi. And they're like, no, we can't. And so I was just like, come with me. I like walked up to him. I'm like, my friends really want a picture with you. And he was like, okay. But afterward, they were like, oh my God, oh my God. We just met Tony Hawk. And I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. They're like, oh, thank you so much. We never would have gone up to him. Like, we never would have said anything. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, you guys are the Planet Smashers. Like, you're somebody important too. But it was really cute. It was really funny.
That's amazing. Also, amazing. I had no idea you were on Yo Gabba Gabba. That's wild to me.
Oh yeah, I used to play Broby, the green one. Like, not not the voice. My sister is the voice of the blue one, Tootie, and then she and I used to do like the costume work for Broby, for the green one, for like the first three seasons, and she still does the voice for Tootie to this day. But I don't do it anymore, like Yo Gabba Gabba stuff. But yeah. Back then, Tony Hawk was one of, like, our very first guests.
I remember Tony Hawk on Yo Gabba Gabba.
Yeah, yeah. He was an excuse for us, for, like, the crew to build, like, a skate ramp and, like, have it, you know, like, in the warehouse where we filmed. Because people just wanted to skate. And so they're like, oh, like, how can we get the production to, like, build a skate ramp in here? We're like, oh, like, let's just have Tony Hawk come and we'll like add it to the episode and Plex will like skateboard with Tony Hawk. But then they just never broke it down, you know what I mean? Like, they built the they built the skate ramp and they just never broke it down so that everybody could skate on it if they wanted to on their breaks and stuff. It was cool. Yeah, it was a fun time, fun experience. And met a lot of really cool people and had some really cool interactions and stuff. Always was so funny when a celebrity would like ask, oh, can I have lunch with you? I'm like, me? They're like, yeah, you play Broby, right? He's my favorite. I love him. Like, Jimmy from Jimmy Eat World was like, can I eat lunch with you? I'm like, me? I'm like, what the? Okay, yeah, eat with me. Like, I'm in love with you. Let's get married. No, I'm just kidding.
None of them were weird, though. Why don't you be in costume, right?
No, Questlove asked me if I would, because I wasn't working the day that Questlove, that the Roots were, like, filming. But I just came anyway, because, like, I wanted to see. Like, we're allowed to, like, see, you know. But yeah, so he was like, oh, I really want a picture with Broby, like, and you're here. Can you just go, like, put on your costume? And I'm like, yeah, sure. So I just, like, slipped into it, and there's, like, I can Google it and, like, find, if you just Google Questlove and Broby, like, that's me and Questlove. I mean, you can't see me. Oh, and then that's the thing. It's like, so I did the Jack Black episode, and Jack Black was so funny because he said, he came up to us during rehearsal and he's like, wow, this is so cool. This is like meeting Kiss without the makeup on. And I'm like, yeah, nobody knows who we are. Like, in real life, you're walking down the street, you're doing stuff. Nobody knows. Nobody knows this thing about you, you know? I've seen like Broby stuff in like my daughter's like friends' houses and stuff like that. And I'm just like, I have to just be quiet. I want to be like, that's me.
Oh, she's not like my mom was Broby.
No, well, she's only 8, so she like missed all that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, some of these parents have like older kids, or like they themselves were people that watched it, and so like they'll have stuff and I'll be like, oh my gosh, like I want to say something, but I also just don't I don't want all the questions and be like, how'd that work, you know? Or people telling other moms and dads at school, oh, did you know that Tara is going Yo Gabba Gabba?
You're just very modest.
I guess, but it's also just kind of like a strange job, you know? Like, that was my job. Like, these people are like lawyers and doctors and stuff like that. And they're like, oh, do you know Neely's mom was like a green, long-armed, like, monster? like a sad monster on a kid's TV show. But yeah, the ska world is quite small.
It is. It truly is.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, the guys from the Aquabats are the ones that put that show together.
Oh, yeah. That's what first, like, made me check out Yo Gabba Gabba.
Yeah. Because a lot of the monsters on Yo Gabba Gabba were monsters, like, for the stage show for Aquabats, you know?
Yeah.
That's where, like, it originated from and stuff. Like, we played with the Aquabats earlier last year in 2023. It was funny because they still use, like, the original, like, it's not called Broby, right? But it was like, that's what Broby's modeled after, is this monster that they use on stage. So I saw it in the hallway and I was just like, oh my god, there's my boy, there's my son. But yeah,
I'm like more starstruck now, to be honest.
With me?
Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Oh, when it was, yeah.
When it's just you from 2:30.
Oh, yeah. I was just
ready,
you know,
for it. But now, like, whoa.
Whoa. I told you, it's like a little known fact. Unless you, like, look on my Facebook and see my past work history, then I guess, like, how are you going to know? If you've listened to I did an episode of In Defense of Ska where we, like, Adam absolutely wanted to talk about that. Like, he wanted to talk about, because I used to be a character at Disneyland too, so he wanted to talk about that. He wanted to talk about, you know, Yo Gabba Gabba and, like, just all the forbidden things that I normally don't talk about.
And here you are, just unprompted.
Well, he broke the seal, you know, because one of the things about working at Disneyland is they it's almost like a little cult. Like, they like make you feel that if you break the code of silence, that, like, you know, somebody's gonna show up at your door basically and come for you and your whole family.
Yeah, a friend of mine, him and his wife both worked at Disney World, and they did not talk about Disney World outside of Disney World.
Right? That's what,
like,
I'm saying.
Any of the, like, behind the scenes.
For years I was like, I just felt like I couldn't say anything, I couldn't talk about anything, and then I was like, you know what, that's not real. Like, it's not like, yeah, maybe I'll never be able to work there again or something, but, like, the things that they told me, like, what's gonna happen, like, that's not how that works, you know.
I haven't thought about this in literal decades, but I worked at Six Flags here in Illinois, and it was kind of the same, but not, like, it was just, don't get out of costume if you're in costume on the floor, as they called the whole park, the floor. And, like, that was kind of it, and there weren't really any repercussions other than you would lose your job, and then they'd probably rehire you the next summer, because there's a finite amount of people in Northern Illinois who want to work at Six Flags.
Yeah, well, there's, like, lingo and stuff you're supposed to use, you know, like you're supposed to say, like, I would say, like, oh, I was a friend of Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse, and I was a friend of Donald Duck, and I was a friend of Chippendale, and I was a friend of Timon, and I was a friend of, you know what I mean, these are all the people I was a friend of,
wink,
you know?
Wink. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. And, like, at Disneyland, it's called being on stage, and everybody is a cast member, like, if you work there.
Right.
So, but, yeah. I mean, like, I get it, because it was all about, like, you know, preserve the magic is what they would say. And I totally believe in the Disney magic. I absolutely do. But at the same time, I'm like, it's weird that you're not allowed to talk about, like, cool things that you've done. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, okay, well, like, Disney, they have all the money, all the everything, and I'm sure people know that there are human beings inside of those. Sorry, anybody listening, that I just completely ruined the magic that there's a human being inside the costume, but surprise. Surprise.
It's...
I think even my kids know that, and they're,
it's
like, kind 5 and
yeah.
8.
Past a certain age, you realize it. Like, I remember being a kid at Disney World, and getting super excited because I'm older. There were the gummy bears there.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, that's the gummy bears here in the real world.
I still get excited when I see characters. Like, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, I had so many experiences in costume where I was just like, how is this happening to me? Because I am a person. Like, I am, like, dads are so creepy. They're so creepy. They, like, they want to know if you're, like, femme in there. They want to know. They have to know. They have to, like, grab and, like, touch you in places to try. Yeah, it's really, just, like, in front of their entire family. It's just,
please,
like.
Please tell me the costume kind of hides that.
Well, I mean, yeah, there's like padding and stuff like that. There's padding and stuff like that, but that's what I'm saying. They got to
like make it right. Yeah.
They get like really, you know, grabby and stuff trying to like just figure that out. And you're just like, really, dude? Like, yeah, guess what? There's a person in here. It's like,
yeah.
It's terrible. But you know what? All that aside, it was doing all that stuff was just such an awesome, wonderful experience. Even working at Disneyland, I loved it. I love it so much. I look back and like, it was like one of the coolest, awesomest jobs. And it kind of rolled over into Yo Gabba. That's like how that sort of came about. I mean, there are lots of ways it came about, but me and my sister, like, we worked at Disneyland together and she got the job at Yo Gabba. And because she was friends with all of them when they like started putting all this together and stuff, many, many years ago. And it was funny because I didn't audition for that job at Yo Gabba. Like my sister was doing it and we're like the same height and we both had the same job experience. So they just called me on the phone and they're like, hey, you know, we're doing this kids show thing. And, you know, no networks or anything have, like, picked it up or anything yet. But, like, if they do, would you want to be your sister's, like, double? And I was like, yeah, sure. And then 2 years later, Nick Jr. and Wild Brain, they picked that up. And they just called me. They're like, green light, we're doing it. And I was like, okay, sick. Like, and just showed up. I didn't, like, have to audition for that or anything. I just kind of, like, plopped into my lap. But it was so cool. Like I said, I got to see and meet so many cool people. So many awesome people were involved with that show. Biz Markie and Mark Mothersbaugh, Devo fame. Or, like, regular, you know, parts of the show. And then we had all these cool musical guests, cool celebrity guests. It was like a family there. It was really cool. It was a good experience. But yeah, that's that.
That's all incredible. I'm a little disappointed that you didn't get the job by just being on set. And they go, you. Can you fit in a costume? I don't know.
There was no sets. There was no sets in the beginning. Like, you know, my sister just like filmed the pilots because, like I said, she was involved with like the Aquabats and that group of friends and stuff. And yeah, they just were like I said, me and my sister are the same height. So they were just like, let's do this. But it was so cool. It was so fun. It's still cool to think about, but also weird. I'm always like, oh man, it's weird that happened. It's weird that I did that.
It's incredible that you did. Like, I know somebody was, like you said, in that suit, but it makes me happy knowing one of them was you.
isn't that weird?
It's it really like, does. Yeah.
That's got to be the weirdest part. One of the funniest things for me was, like, when the toys started coming out, like, at Target, going there, and, like, my sister's voice was, like, on all of these toys, you know, squeezing things and like making them make noise and stuff. And I'm like, hey, and just knowing other people too, like Adam, who does the voice of Muno, he was in the Aquabats, Prince Adam, right? Is that what they call
it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, there is a Prince Adam.
Yeah. So that's Muno's voice. And like Christian's sister, Emma, is the voice of Fufa. It was all very like, you know, sort of like primitive. It was just like who you knew, you know, in the beginning. So that's how like all these people are doing their thing.
So I just thought of a weird question, and not something I thought I would ask today at all.
Yeah.
Because I didn't expect to be talking about Yo Gabba Gabba so much.
Oh, sorry. We can move on from
Yo Gabba Gabba. I love it. No. I love it. That's kind of, is that a Diet Coke?
It is. It's a Diet Coke. Yes. It's on brand, right? Yeah.
Yes. Love all right, it.
What's your big question?
So there was the South Park episode about Yo Gabba Gabba.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Just general thoughts.
General thoughts? I mean,
was it like an honor to be on South Park? But because I'll be honest, having no connection to the show, that episode kind of irks me a little bit, just because it's a lot.
I mean, there's a lot of things, you know, that happen on South Park that can irk one. I mean, there are so many funny things about South Park too.
There are.
It didn't really bother me. I mean, because like I said, that's the weird thing about being about that sort of like Hollywood job or like celebrity or whatever is like it's me, but it's not me. You know what I mean? So I guess I can appreciate it. I know that a lot of like there were people that associated that were like, you know, they didn't love it, right? They didn't love it. But I don't think it had a lot to do with like what we were doing necessarily. It was just like a funny commentary sort of. So
kind of.
Yeah. If you haven't seen the episode, no, just kidding.
Yeah, check it. It's on HBO Max.
Yeah.
There's one thing you take away from this episode.
Watch Yo Gabba Gabba. Go watch the South Park episode featuring Yo Gabba Gabba.
Yo Gabba Gabba. Don't do that.
Don't do it. We don't suggest it. We were just talking about it.
Not condone.
We're alluding to it, yeah.
Yeah. I am, years ago, I interviewed the Good One Club.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love everybody in the Good One Club.
Yeah, and I was just so thrown by all the stories they were telling me. I kind of forgot the point of the interview. They were just talking about like the early 90s ska scene and all this interconnected stuff where I was like, what? Oh my God. And I feel like we've hit that point where I'm just... Again, a little starstruck.
We could talk about other stuff. I mean, I did come to talk about
something about something happening. But yeah, let's talk Half Past Two.
Okay, let's go back to Half Past Two.
You know, yeah, let's circle back to that now that we've gone on our Gabba Gabba tangent.
Yeah, we're down the hole. Yeah.
That's what always happens on these episodes, though, and I love it.
Yeah.
This time it's about something interesting and not talking about beans like it has been almost every other episode.
I'll bring it back to beans if I have to.
I have to mention it. I think it's my brand now. So
it's your Diet Coke.
It's beans. My Diet Coke. It's just beans. Beans in general. not a specific brand or product. Just beans.
Okay.
Thank Flying Raccoon Soup for that. Your label mates.
Yes, they are. They're my label mates.
They are your label mates. You are on a stacked label.
We're on Bad Time Records. That's one thing.
Bad Time Records now. I'm a little heartbroken. When you said you were announcing a new album, I was like, it's going to be Bad Time. But part of me really wanted it to be Jump Up again.
But we were on Jump Up by accident. We weren't even on Jump Up.
Yeah, I know. You were part of the Pay Attention.
Yeah, we were.
Initially, but it worked out. Hopefully. Yeah.
I mean, it worked out with Chuck. It did. It worked out with Chuck. Chuck really stepped in and, like, made sure that everything was taken care of and, like, fair and stuff like that. So Chuck made the experience a positive one. And you're right. Like, Chuck would have done more with us. But being on Bad Time was sort of, like, our dream.
It was inevitable. There's a handful of bands from, like, they're gonna put out a Bad Time release for their next record, and I definitely had you guys as one of those.
So, what gave it away? I'm so curious.
Yeah, are you though?
Well, it's just funny, like, because you said, like,
Brent's your tour manager.
All these people are our really close friends though.
Right, no, exactly, that's it. So Adam does all of, well, not all, but a lot of your artwork and stuff. You're posting pictures with him constantly, it seems.
Because we're besties!
Exactly. So it's just like, they are destined to be on Bad Time.
Well, you know what? Here's the funny thing, is we asked Mike to release our last record when everything was sort of like falling apart. We were like, what do you think? And he told us no. He didn't think Half Past Two belonged on Bad Time. And we understood what he meant. And we were just kind of like bummed, because we're like, damn, like that's where we really want to be, you know? And it was like one of the reasons why when everything was kind of puttering out for us, as I think we felt like it was, like, we were like, okay, we need to reevaluate, we need to make a new bucket list, and we need to, like, work towards these things. And yeah, so we started working. I mean, Reed from Watu has been a friend for a while, but I was like, we've had the same producer since the beginning, and that's David Irish at Pot of Gold Studios. David does Real Big Fish and has done, you know, Suburban Legends, has done lots of ska and punk bands, and I love David so much. But we've been with him since the beginning of Half Past Two. And so we were like, oh, let's try something else. Let's have Reed produce some songs. So we just tried it out. We did Heart of Gold. You know, we wrote a couple songs together, and we were like, okay, this is working out. This is good. And then we told Reed, like, we really want to be on Bad Time with all of our friends. And Reed was like, okay, like, let's do this. Let's write an angry Half Past Two album. And I was like, oh, what? An angry Half Past Two album? What are you talking about? I don't write angry music. I don't do that. And Reed was like, well, that is your problem, is you're too happy. I was like, okay. So yeah, this album is definitely our angry Half Past Two album. And I like it. So you know what? I might keep going in that direction.
Embrace the dark side.
Yeah, you're right. See, yeah, embracing the dark side. That's what I'm going to do.
I definitely got that vibe listening to Dominoes, the single that is out. I was like, this is a little...
Yeah. I had to write about some really hard things. It sucked. Yeah. I mean,
I'm all for, like, all right, poppy, cheery Half Past Two, here we go. Like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And well, I think it still has a lot of the elements, I think.
It's still 100% Half Past Two. Like, it's not like you've completely, you know, changed your sound or anything. It's just, like you said, the subject matter is different.
Yeah.
It still has that little bit of cheer to it, but I think that's the great thing with ska. There are some pretty depressing songs that sound very upbeat and happy until you actually listen in to what's being said.
Oh no, I know. Like, the next single that comes out is like, it was the title to the album, the title track for the album. And it's, for me personally, for Tara, it was, I cry. Like, I cry when I listen to it, when I have to practice it at practice. And it's like a joke in my band because everyone really likes that song and they like playing it. So they always say like, oh, this song is so fun to play and it's so fun. But like, meanwhile, I'm like standing in the corner, like, you know, holding my microphone, like shaking and like sobbing. But it's just funny because it doesn't sound like that. I don't think anybody's going to listen to the next single and be like, oh, this is so sad, I am going to cry or something. It's a ska song. So it's like, it does that thing. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. Who knows? Who knows? We'll see. I'm sure I'll have to talk about it like so many times. That's what one of my friends was saying. They're like, well, it was cathartic to write about it, but now you're going to have to talk about it a lot. And I'm like, oh, great. Yeah, it's true. I guess that's true. But yeah, that's the next single that comes out in like a little under 2 weeks. So we'll see. I'm going to have a really nice, you know, really nice time releasing that one. But Dominoes too. Dominoes was hard. Dominoes was about when everybody quit 2:30. It's been like 2 years, but we had like a mass exodus. And Reed was like, I want you to write a song about that. And I was like, that time physically made me ill. I'm like, so you want me to revisit that time? And she was like, yeah, I really do. I want you to. I was like, okay. And it was the first single. I was like, great. Awesome. Wonderful. Thank you. And even some of the band members that quit that like were still cool with, they were like, this is about me, isn't it? I was like, I mean, yeah, I guess. Yes. Yes, it is. I'm not going to lie. Yeah.
I had an inkling that it was either about that or the last record. Kind of tumultuous release.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it had a lot to do with the last record, but it was definitely, now that I think about it, like, I guess I could see how you could think that.
Because, like, again, not just saying this, I remember when like the Pay Attention kind of fell apart. Like, I knew you were part of it because
we were the Chuck, first release on it. Yeah.
Chuck tells me stuff. I've like known him since the 90s to some degree, first as a patron of his record shops. And then as like just through the years, we've built up I like to think a friendship where, sometimes he'll just flippantly mention something. I'm like, oh.
So you have a little bit of insight.
I sometimes have insider knowledge. Not anything major, but yeah, I knew that was kind of on the ropes. And obviously, like, Phil kind of right? Phil from Ska Punk Daily?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he kind of disappeared for a while, which I get. I did that myself. But I was still hopeful, and I was like, I really wanted to hear that 2:30 record. And like, I knew who the third release was supposed to be. That they never ended up recording, and that will remain a secret until they're on the show, probably.
Yeah, maybe.
I've had them on. Ooh.
Start
the detective work.
Yes. The speculation.
Let it begin. But I've lost my train of thought completely. Yeah, no, I remember.
We're talking about Dominoes.
I was really worried that that record wasn't going to come out. And
you know, look, Chuck picked it up. He picked it up.
He pick it up, which he loves, by the way. No, he picked it up. And like, to me, again, I unabashedly love Jump Up Records and Chuck. So I was really excited. And just, I think by putting out that record, which as of today, having not heard Talk Is Killing Me, it is my favorite Half Past Two record by far. It was one of my favorite records of that year by far.
Oh, wow.
Like, absolutely adored it. So I'm happy, but like, he started releasing more like non-traditional stuff on Jump Up, which is was kind of their bread and butter for years.
I know. That's and like, and Chuck even has like a bad like rap outside of Jump Up for like not liking, you know, not being like a fan or like a supporter of like.
It's weird too, because like he does like that stuff. It's just not what he's built like Jump Up around after its weird, awkward 2000s phase.
Yeah.
Where he put out like a string of non-ska albums after releasing primarily ska punk stuff in the early days.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, this is opening a door to early, and like they just did their 30th anniversary. So I was like, maybe we'll see a better mixture of bands on here.
He's doing a lot more. Like, he did the Bumsy and the Moochers thing.
I was so happy for them. The one and only Talk the Ska Presents live show. They were the opener. So I've loved Bumsy forever.
And he did he also helped out the Stepdaughters with their release.
Yep.
After all that. And yeah, you know, like I said, Chuck is a pal. Chuck is a friend. And I'm glad he did that.
It's the real goat of the U.S. ska scene.
he is. And I'm glad you like that record. I have like a sort of love-hate relationship with Half Past Two self-titled. And it's not a secret. My bandmates aren't going to listen to this and be like, oh, Tara doesn't like Half Past Two self-titled. Like, they all know. But that was one of the other reasons I was like, we need to write another album, like now, like yesterday, like, because I had so much displeasure with Half Past Two self-titled.
Thing in particular that
I think it was like something that a lot of people struggled with putting out music in 2020, 2021, all that stuff. It's just like, it's so disjointed.
Fair.
It's so like we before the pandemic hit, we were going to write an album. That was the plan. But then it happened and like we were all separate. So we were like, okay, we still want to do this, you know. We're supposed to be doing this thing with Pay Attention. So like, let's deliver, you know. But everybody was writing music in different places and with like, they were at home alone coming up with these ideas going like, oh, I like this. And then showing it to the group and us being like, okay, that's cool. But like with the mostly fleshed out idea, it wasn't like we were meeting up and like doing it together or anything, you know? So to me, it was just like, it was like that. I just like listened to it and I'm like, oh, like, I understand that a lot of people like it, so I'm not like I can't knock that. Like, people do like it, but for me, I just was like, there's no glue that holds this together. Everything is like so different. And some people like it for that reason, that so many things on it are so different. But personally for me, it was just like maybe that's why another reason why, you know, Mike didn't want it at Bad Time. Was because it was just like, it was kind of weird. It was kind of a weird album. But I can look back on it and appreciate that it was like, it came out in, you know, 2021 after we spent, you know, a whole year just like trying to figure out how to even write this album. But yeah, no, Domino's didn't really have anything to do with that. It was mostly just like, yeah, we just had like a major falling out, and I really just didn't even think I wanted to like keep doing this. Like, if I wanted to keep doing Half Past Two, because I was so heartbroken and like I just didn't know like where to go with it. because I was like, man, I have such a bad taste in my mouth for what I'm doing. But yeah, that's why Reed was like, well, let's do what musicians do and let's write about it. And I'm like, I don't want to. And she's like, that's fine, you don't want to, but I'm asking you to. So that's where Domino's came from. And it's just funny that it ended up being like the first single. But it's a really good song.
So, it is a really good song.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got that good hook. And like, I'm looking forward to playing it for people. But it was also one of those things where I was just like, when my old bandmate was like, this is about me, isn't it? Like, he was just one of the people it was about. But I was like, yeah. He's like, well, I really like it. I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's not a good song about me, but I like it. And I'm like, okay. I can appreciate that. But I'm better now. You know, good. Like when I was writing it, I was not happy about it, but I'm better now. I feel better now.
So. I assume you feel better about Half Past Two again in general.
I do. I mean, like I said, when I really wanted to quit, I straight up was like, I was quitting. And Max and David, because Half Past Two was it started when we were in high school, and me and Max and David are the last three, like, original members of Half Past Two. And so the two of them were like, you know, like, what can we do? What can we do to make you stay? You know, because, like, if you leave, like, we're not going to keep doing this either. And, you know, I had like, I thought really hard and I was like, well, I want to write a new album. I want Reed to produce it. I want a tour. I want to like try being a touring band. Cause we've been doing this for almost 20 years and like have never done that. So I was like, I want to do that. And I want it to be on Bad Time Records. And they're like, wow, that's some list. Okay. So that was 2 years ago, and like over the last 2 years, we've just been chipping away. Now my list is complete, and I just don't know where to go from there. Like, we announced this huge tour, you know, last week. It's like more shows in more places than Half Past Two has ever done, and we're on Bad Time, and you know, we have this new album coming out that I'm super proud of. And yeah, I don't know. Like, I do. I feel so good about Half Past Two. I feel so good about what we've accomplished and what, like, my bandmates. Like, I know we did it, like, together and for each other. But, like, a lot of it feels like they did that for me. Like, they just, like, they sort of, like, pulled it out and made sure that stuff happened because, you know, well, they want to see, like, Half Past Two, like, keep going. And, yeah, I hope other people want to see us keep going. Because, I mean, that has never mattered, because I like to think that we make music because, you know, for ourselves, because we want to. But it's a big part of it, you know, is to see, like, how far it can go. We've just been doing this so long.
Well, I am happy you're still going. I do remember when you guys started, because I stumbled upon you. It was probably like 2007, 2008.
So oh, wow. Early years. The very beginning, like, yeah.
A webpage, because I do remember you were all either out of high school at that point, but yes, you were a bunch of youngins, and you had like about sections on your website that I recall for some reason.
Yes, yes.
And
we
I
did.
Was like,
because it was fun.
And it was. It was like your typical like age favorite bands. I think there was a Y ska question for all of them.
Yes.
All of you. Yes. And I was just like, oh, this band seems fun, but I don't know if they got legs, basing it on nothing at all. Just my gut opinion based on a website. And now here we are all these years later.
You know what? I remember all that. And I think the only reason we're here today is because of Aaron Barrett, and because he was like one of the only people that was like, this band's got legs. Because Aaron produced our first two, our first EP and our first album. And it's like, he went to the same high school as us. And so, like, if you go to Los Alamitos High School, you, like, develop this unhealthy relationship with, there's a burger joint, like, directly across the street. It's, like, the closest thing that you can go eat called Volcano Burger. And you just, like, develop this sort of, like, an addiction, basically, to Volcano Burger. And Aaron loves it a lot. And even though he was, like, so much older than us, you know, he would return to Volcano Burger to, like, get Volcano Burger. And one of our drummer at the time ran into him there and was like, oh, my God, I'm in a ska band. Can I give you my demo? And it gave, and Aaron has this rule that if you give him your demo, he will always listen to three songs. Like, that's his rule for himself. It's just like, he'll listen to three of your songs. And that's what he did. He listened to three of our songs. He found us on MySpace. And he contacted us on MySpace. And he was like, hey, I like your sound. I want to, like, record your band. I want to, like, you know, produce an EP with you or something. And that's I honestly think that's why Half Past Two is still, like, here today. Because Real Big Fish, like, took us on, like, two short little tours over here. And they let us, like, open for them a couple times. And Aaron, you know, produced, like, our first EP, Closet Polar Bear. And then our first full length, which was It's About Time. And, yeah. But otherwise, like you said, we were just, like, some farty little
rinky dink
ska band in Orange County. Actually, no, because in Orange County not at all. That time, there was no ska scene. It was
everywhere, and I think that's why I found you. It was probably from MySpace.
Yeah, I remember ska was like a dirty word.
Yeah, I would search ska tags of, like, a new band I haven't heard of. Oh my.
Yeah, it was a dark time, you know, the mid to late 2000s.
They were. I actually want to do an episode of the show dedicated to that dark age.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. It really is the dark age.
Because, yeah,
it was bleak.
Rough for a while.
It was bleak. That's for sure. You should, because I think about that all the time, because people are like, especially today, people are like, oh, it's like new tone and, like, you know, ska never died. I was like, oh man, we were on life support for a while there.
From like 2002 to about, it feels like 2012, 2013.
Yeah.
It's rough. Rough out there.
It was definitely rough out there. I don't even like to, like, think about that time, but now that I am thinking about it and where I'm standing today, I can appreciate that time.
I've heard people who have no idea about my, like, very minor involvement in the ska scene here, or love of ska in general for some reason, even though all I wear are ska band t-shirts, or shirts that say ska. I don't really hide it at all. Talk about ska. And are shocked. They're like, you know about it? I'm like, a little bit.
I heard a funny story actually last night, because I went to see Jer and Devin K and the Solutions and Susie True at the skate shop program here in Orange County over in Fullerton. And one of our fans came up to me and was telling me that he was at Whole Foods and he was, like, in the elevator and he was wearing an In Defense of Ska shirt and it said, like, ska now more than ever or whatever. And he was in the elevator with one other person, this woman. And this woman was like, hey, what's your shirt about? And he was like, what? My shirt? And she was like, yeah, ska. It says ska now more than ever. What's that about? And he was like, oh, and, like, started explaining ska. And she's like, no. I know what ska is. I just didn't know it was still a thing. And he was like, yeah, like, you know, it was, like, talking to her about it. And they talked for, like, 20 minutes in Whole Foods about this. Because she was like, I loved ska. I was a huge, like, ska fan. But I had no idea that people were still playing ska music. And he showed her a bunch of bands. And now she's like, he said that she's like a Half Past Two, like, super fan. And I know who he's talking about because this person on Instagram has been like, you know, going to our lives and like commenting on things. And like, yeah, she's a fan. She's coming to like our record release show and all this stuff. But it's because he met her in the Whole Foods elevator and was wearing a ska shirt, like you're saying right now.
Amazing. I was wearing a Bad Time shirt at the local mall. Well, my old local mall, I guess. And I talked to some guy for like probably the same, like 20-30 minutes.
He knew what Bad Time was?
Yeah. He came up to me and like it was weird because I saw him like not following me around the mall. It was in through like two stores, but he was kind of like trying to, I assume, read my shirt now. And I know that's what it is because he told me. But I was like, what the heck is going on with this weirdo?
You're getting creeped out.
And he's like, I'm sorry, is that a Bad Time shirt? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, it is. He's like,
oh, my God.
I love Bad Time or something like that, right?
It's like, yeah, he's like, oh, you know, they're so great. Like Joystick and Hill Lincoln. And I'm like, yes, they are. Those are bands. And he started talking about like the Wisconsin has a ska festival. It's actually back this year called Scapleton. And he was talking about that and like old, like naming off bands from the early 2000s and stuff. And I was like, oh, all right. But in that instance, I gave him, I was like, yeah, you know, like I actually do a podcast and stuff about ska. Like, here's my information. Never contacted me.
Oh, that's fine. You never know like what you did do though. He might be listening to like some
that's
other
true.
Bands.
Well, I was like
he might be listening.
I was like, this is a wild thing. A lot of people don't believe. None of my like close friends like ska.
Aww.
I am the outlier for it. So like, and it's easier now that like I've started doing this and built relationships with people online and whatnot. But I used to hate going to ska shows alone. So I'd usually drag my sister, but she got married and had a kid and all these other things. So she's not.
Hey, that doesn't mean anything.
Available.
I'm married. I have kids.
It does. She's very tired. No, you're absolutely right. But that's the reasoning. We still go occasionally. But
yeah,
it's,
yeah.
Before, it would be like, Katie, there's this ska show. We're going. She'd be like, all right. I'll
but
tell
you,
the husband.
But do you run into do people spot you for your ska shirts and stuff? Besides that one guy?
There's been a handful of people. The local grocery store by me for years has played like it's open 24 hours and I don't want to deal with crowds, so I usually go like after midnight. Because I work second shift anyway. And they're always playing, like, Aquabats and Real Big Fish and Boss Tones.
Really?
And be like, who is doing this? Like, I want to know. Because it's not, like, a radio station just playing or a spot. It is a full album. They played all of Why Do We Rock So Hard.
That's so funny. Oh, my gosh. That's a good one to play. Sounds
yeah, and I
taste.
Just want to be like, who is responsible for this? They played a Skank and Pickle song, which blew my mind
one day.
Because, like, I was just shopping for rice or whatever.
Oh, my gosh.
Not really listening because it's grocery store music. And I was like.
You're like, wait a minute.
It's like, is this Thick Ass Stout?
You have to find out who that is, Maddie.
I still don't know
to, like,
who it is.
You have to find out.
They have a bulletin board, and I didn't put a...
You need to just, like,
who's
straight
responsible?
Up, like, can I speak to the manager, you know?
Who is playing this raucous music?
You need to. Oh, my God, please. You're going to find out that it's, like, your twin flame or something. You'll have
yeah,
a part, someone to go to ska shows with.
Yes.
Yeah. It would be so cool. I'm rooting for you, okay?
The wildest thing that ever happened to me was getting recognized for this podcast. And it was, to circle back to something, it was the Planet Smashers Goldfinger show in Chicago.
Okay.
And just somebody was like, I know you. And it was like, I don't think so. I'm like, no. You're Talk the Ska. You do that show.
Like, you're like,
what?
Me?
Like,
I've
got
me.
Like four pictures of myself. I'm like,
hey, you know what? You like just relish in it. Like it's
awesome.
I
was like, you are correct. That is me.
Oh my gosh. I'm like,
oh, cool. Big fan.
That's like the other day Max called me or texted me from Disneyland, and him and our friend Ray Mystic, who does a lot of like photography and videography for like a lot of the Bad Time bands and stuff. But we're like, you know, Ray's like my best friend, and that Max and Ray were at Disneyland the other day, and somebody came up and they were like, are you Ray Mystic? And I was like, yes. And they were like, I know you too. Like, pointed to Max. And then Max was like, uh-huh. And they got recognized for being like ska, like celebrities, basically. This person was like, oh my gosh, like I'm a big fan. And they're like, what? Like, we're at Disneyland. We're just like, it's so weird. But I'm like, no, you should have given that person a big hug and been like, thank you. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for giving me this crazy moment. You know?
Yeah, listen.
I've had a few of those myself. My favorite one was at Warped Tour in Ventura, like years ago. I can't remember the year. It was the year that Katy Perry was there, though. But I was hanging out with the Real Big Fish, like, crew or whatever. We were on the bus. And I went somewhere with Aaron. He was like, oh, take a walk with me or something. I was like, okay. So we were, like, walking around backstage. And we were walking back to the bus. And this girl comes, like, running up to us and was like, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Can I have your picture? And I was like, I went to go grab her camera because, I mean, I'm walking with Aaron Barrett of Real Big Fish, like, at Warped Tour. So I was like, she wants a picture with Aaron. And I was like, yeah, I'll take it. And she's like, no, I want a picture with you. And I was like, me? And this is a long time ago. So I was like, me? She's like, yeah, you're the lead singer of Half Past Two. My brother is going to freak out. And I was like, what? And Aaron was like sniggering like next to me, just like, and he's like, I'll take the picture. And so he took it, and I was like, okay, well, do you want a picture with him? And she's like, like, looked at him all weird. She's like, no, like, no, thanks.
Who's this?
And I'm like, yeah. And after she left, I was like, bro, she didn't even know who you were. And he was like, ugh. I made you. That's what he said to me. He was like, I made you. I cannot believe that just happened. I was like, hey, I'm going to remember this moment literally for the rest of my life. That, like, I got recognized at Warped Tour over you. Like, oh, it was so good. But, yeah, like, that's probably, like, one of the only times that's, like, ever happened to me. But unless I'm at, like, a ska show. I mean, at ska shows, of course, people are like, oh, I love your band or whatever. And that still feels like $1 million. I love that. It always makes me so happy that people like our music. And it's easy to pick me out now because I have purple hair and it's like all over everything. So, like, I didn't even mean to, but like we took the pictures for the album cover and I had purple hair, and like, Mike at Bad Time was like, maybe you should keep your hair purple for a while. But like, I didn't mean for it to like be something that I kept for a while. So my hairstylist is like super pissed because she loves coloring my hair, and I'm like, I'm sorry, dude, like, it's gotta be purple for a while. And she was like, why? I'm sick of doing this purple thing. And I'm like,
I need it for the album cycle.
Yeah, that's basically what they said. They're like, okay, like, you should probably keep it while you're promoting this record. I was like, sure, okay, it makes sense. Like, but it's just funny. But yeah, it's all good. It's good times, and I'm glad you got recognized. I hope it happens again and again and again.
It's the one time, and it was still very surreal. Because I'm like, I'm nobody.
What do you mean?
I'm nobody. I've done nothing.
You did Talk the Ska, Daddy.
I
did Talk
the Ska. I remember. You probably don't recall this interaction, but you and Max covered a Millington song years ago. And I commented that it's really nice to see like ska royalty pulling up the younger crowd. And I don't remember your reaction, but it was like, we're nobody. Like, no.
Yeah, we're not, though. Like, It's like, I don't know. I just feel like there's like so many other bands that are way more like notable. Like, if anything, we've been around a long time. You know what I mean? We're just like, we're just here. That's how I feel. We're just here. You know, happy to be here. That's what I like to say. We're just happy to be here. So my goal with Half Past Two was always like, well, first, I really wanted to just be like hometown heroes. That was like the tippy top of the pyramid. And then the needle kind of moved. And I was like, if Half Past Two, if somebody ever like takes a microscope out and like zooms in on like the niche ska scene, you know, of Orange County, California, between this time and this time, and our name like comes up or something, then I will. It was all worth it. That's what I want. That's how I hope our legacy goes on. You know, like if somebody makes like some documentary, if someday on BBC there's a show about ska during this time, because you know that show's coming out, right? That two-tone
show.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like maybe one day there'll be like a show. We'll just be like some little name or like a little poster in the background.
There to be
like
the Aaron Barrett at Volcano Burger scene.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. That's like how it happened. Like, I always joke that I owe everything to Volcano Burger. Like, not Aaron Barrett. I owe everything to Volcano Burger. Whenever I eat there, I'm like, thank you, Volcano Burger, for being so delicious that, like, there's only one of you in the entire world. You got to go back to Volcano Burger. A lot of stock, anything, you might have heard. But if you learned anything,
If I learned anything, it's that I need to go to Volcano Burger.
Yeah, you got to go to Volcano Burger. It's delightful. I want to make, like, a Half Past Two Volcano Burger, like parody shirt. All the time, I'm like, oh, it'd be so good. Max is like, nobody's going to know what that means, though. I'm like, but I'll know.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, right?
Yeah. I'm like, I'll know. Like, I owe everything. I owe everything to the delightful Volcano Burger. So, and the fact that Los Alamitos High School is across the street and so many ska greats came out of Los Alamitos High School.
This reminded me. I was wearing my Dude Wears My Ska shirt. And frequently people are like, ah, oh, dude, where's my car? And then there's the realization.
It's a ska.
Ska, they're like, wait, what's ska?
Do you have a dude or do you have a sweet shirt?
I have, shoot, I don't remember. I think I have sweet.
What does mine say? That was my really stupid idea.
It's
to have
amazing.
Them say different things.
Gary from the Backyard Superheroes got the opposite of me because I posted a picture of it and we did that routine.
Yeah, I love
it. Worked
that.
Out perfectly. And I'm pretty
so
sure
good.
I have dude.
That's so good. I love that.
I'm sadly still locked out of my ska shirt a day Instagram, so I can't look.
Gotta start it up again. How are you locked out? Why can't you just look at it?
I mean, you know, that's true. You make a good point there.
I'm like, wait a minute. You can't even see it?
I can probably see it.
Oh my gosh.
All the props to them, but somebody else started a ska shirt a day thing. And I was like, I walked so you could run, sir.
They did? There's another one?
There's another one.
And it's not Gary?
It is not Gary. I don't know who it is. But I like, he messaged me to be like, is this cool?
Oh man, I wonder who it is.
Just like, I don't care.
Like, it's called Ska Shirt a Day?
Mine was a Ska Shirt Every Day. Show me.
But now this other person has an account.
A different account about Ska Shirts.
Oh.
But they started posting shirts they don't even own. And I was like, that's...
That's cheating.
That's outside the scope of my...
That's cheating. That's not how it's supposed to be.
My purview.
Yeah.
But hey, anybody who's elevating ska is fine to me.
Sharing all the ska shirts. Yeah.
Yeah. All the ska shirts, just listing bands. That's like, I really love that I held on to everything from like the 90s and 2000s. So there are weird local ska bands I have stuff for that no one else will probably have heard.
I have such a huge collection of ska shirts, and I'm like, I'm ready to like start selling them because I'm just like, where do I keep all of them? But then I'm like you too, where I'm like, what if one day I like want to see, it's like a little like yearbook, you know, I'm like, what if I want to see which bands were playing at that time?
Like, I really, Adam from Omnigon made a blanket out of all of his.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
And I'm like, that's genius. And I might get there someday because I do just have totes full of ska shirts that I have like a rotation of 30 or so that I wear until they get kind of worn down and then they get washed and put in the retirement tote.
That's so good.
Anyway, we've been
at it.
Almost an hour and a half. This is my longest ever, and you know, I could probably talk to you for another hour and a half here.
I'm having a blast, but
no,
you know.
I love these. There's plenty of things I'm sure I wanted to talk about before.
Well, have me back. I'll come back.
So yeah, at the end of the cycle, come back. I would love to have you anytime. I'll do that Dark Age of Ska episode just for you.
Oh, for sure. I would love a Dark Age of Ska episode. So, but thanks for letting me come on and talk a little bit about all the random things, and then all of the maybe pertinent.
Pertinent. The talk is killing me.
Yeah, the talk is killing me. The bad time records. Stuff,
bad time.
And the tour, I only mentioned it a little bit, but if anybody's listening that is going to be in the Pacific Northwest or the Southwest or the Northeast or going to Supernova, I'll see you there. And there's a couple of unannounced things, too. So I hope to meet lots
Midwest,
of
maybe?
You know what? We were just there. If only Mustard Plug would bring us back. I'm just kidding.
Maybe. I mean, they do it every year. So
They do. But we were just there. I doubt they're going to have us back. But, I mean, we could just go there anyway. There's lots of other reasons to go to the Midwest. It's just we have so much fun with Mustard Plug. So, but, yeah, you know, I would be remiss if I didn't say, like, please go check out all of the tour dates and pre-order the record on Bad Time Records and everything, all the links and stuff are on halfpasttwoska.com. And you can find us on Instagram, halfpasttwoska, Facebook, same thing, halfpasttwoska. I try and keep it pretty consistent with the handles. But yeah. I had so much fun. It was so fun getting to talk about Yo Gabba and stuff. I don't really talk about that very much, like I said, so.
I have
I'm glad to surprise you.
On the show for years. So this has been an honor.
Thanks,
it's funny.
Maddie.
I'm really bad at asking people to come on because I'm like, they're important.
No! Oh my God!
I need
God.
To get out of that mindset. So yeah. Thank you for asking me to do this. Especially literally like I think it was the day I got access to my account back.
So, I know that I like how that worked. It worked out perfectly.
The first thing I did when I got on there, I was like, I have a message from 2:30.
You're like, what? That's weird. Like, new message. Yeah.
New. I've got like dozens of old messages. You know, it's really funny. They didn't, as far as I can tell, like nothing malicious got sent to anybody. I don't know the cause of getting locked out, but I gained like almost 120 new followers doing nothing.
Yeah. Well, you have ska in the name and people want to talk about ska. They just do.
It just surprised me a little, but yeah. Anyway,
they'll have a nice, really long episode to listen to.
Yeah. It's going to be real juicy. Real.
But thanks so much. I'm so glad that, I mean, like I said, this was my first podcast getting to do any of this stuff for this record, and it's my first podcast in a long time, so it was very enjoyable and like very casual, and I like that.
That's how I do it. So
all right,
well, thank you again. We'll talk soon,
I'm okay,
sure. Everybody, yeah, check out Half Past Two's new record, Talk Is Killing Me, coming out on Bad Time Records in April 19th. I almost got it. All right. Thanks again. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Catch you next time.
Goodbye.
End scene.
And we can...
We are out.
Yes. I'm sorry. I always talk, like, way too much. Like, I just...
No.
Like, I go. And, yeah, so... And like I said, I didn't know we'd be talking about all these other, like, funny, like, past... lives of mine, not just the ska part, but like the other funny things.
Yeah. So. Oh, no, I loved it. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
This was very reinvigorating. I also appreciate your pronouns in the chat, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, gotta make sure everybody gets called what they want to be called. Yeah. And stuff.
I need to get better about it myself.
Oh, it's all good, you know, but like it is nice because some people do really appreciate it, like you said, like thank you for that. It's in like my email like signature and stuff too, because you know, like that's, it's so important to do.